Hello once again, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another really good revision history podcast with me, Mr. Hutchison. And this podcast is all about the Plains Indians. So in the last podcast, I went through an overview of the American West course. We talked about some of the questions that you're going to face on that dreaded paper 2 exam. And now we're really getting to the nitty-gritty of the history. Start learning about the indigenous people who lived on the Great Plains, and of course, who will come into conflict with the white European settlers or the Americans as the course goes on. Remember, one of the key stories, I suppose, of this topic is the destruction of Plains Indian culture and the eventual assimilation into American culture. You know, this is where their Plains Indian culture is sort of swallowed up, if you like, destroyed, and they become Americans and farmers. So it's the story of that journey and all the conflicts that it entails. So once again, in the last podcast, I also went through the sort of geography, if you like, and the status of the landscape and what the Great Plains were like. So if you've missed that podcast, it is worth going back and just going through that, so you've got an idea of what the terrain was like where these people live, because it's very important. It's ingrained into their way of life, because the Great Plains was extremely difficult to live on, certainly for white European settlers who tend to like to build houses and farm crops. Great Plains wasn't really suited to that. So the Plains Indians' way of life in order to survive there was adapted to the harsh conditions of the Great Plains. And it's those kind of features of their way of life that I'm going to go through today, and I'm going to say this straight away, guys. You know, we could spend a long time talking about Native American or Plains Indian history. I'm going to do it a huge disservice now by simplifying it all the way down and kind of homogenizing different Plains Indian groups into one. It's less than ideal, folks. It really is. But look, it's the way that the course does it, right? It's the way the textbooks do it, in order to sort of simplify the history to make this course accessible. You know, the Native American history or Plains Indians history could be a course all on its own. So I'm totally aware that I'm simplifying, you know, the culture and the way of life of a very complex history, but that's the way it is in the course, so do forgive me for that. Incidentally as well, when we talk about the Plains Indians, the EdXL textbooks and the EdXL guidance tends to use the Sioux as the poster boys, if you like, for Plains Indian culture, but totally acknowledge that there are many other, you know, different groups, different bands, different tribes. And again, you know, although we tend to use the Sioux as the sort of typical Plains Indians way of life, if you like, you know, we use them as the example. You know, I do acknowledge that there are many other different bands and tribes. So here we go then, folks. So as I say, we went through the difficulties or why it was difficult to live on the plains in the last podcast, but the Plains Indians, the indigenous people, had been living on those Great Plains for hundreds of years. And by the time our course sort of starts in 1830, different bands of Indians, Plains Indians, had come into contact with different European settlers, you know, before this time. So although for a lot, you know, it would have been the first sort of contact with white European settlers, wasn't always the case. You know, in most cases, more often than not, you know, Plains Indians, tribes and bands had some kind of history of this. You know, for example, you know, the story of Pocahontas and John Smith, you know, that happened in the very early 1600s. So, you know, there were pockets of European settlement in America, what was to become America, for you know, a number of years before that. Anyway, moving swiftly onwards, because we could, as I say, we could spend hours talking about that kind of history. We're more interested in our course and getting you through your GCSEs. So here we go. So the first thing, the Plains Indians, the most famous way that the Plains Indians adapted their lives to life on the plains was through the use of the teepee. Okay, the teepee is a kind of tent, kind of a circular tent, and it was absolutely perfect for the plains, perfect for the Plains Indians, because it was, you know, warm in the winter and cool in the summer. So, you know, something so simple, amazing piece of technology. It was round, so, you know, the high winds, you know, there was no shelter on the plains. The high winds would just sort of bounce off. And it was sort of open top as well, with the way it was designed. So, you know, you could have a fire inside as well, and sort of hide from the elements survive with a warm fire. The other important, and linked to this, the other important reason why they were so, you know, able to live in such a harsh environment was the fact that they adapted their lifestyle to be nomadic. So nomadic means that they move around. Okay, so unlike white European settlers that tend to sort of, you know, stake a claim on a land and build a house and farm crops, Plains Indians didn't live that way. They didn't understand that way of life. All right, they didn't. They had a completely different idea of land ownership to white European settlers. That they believed that they were part of the environment, they were part of the land, they fit within the sort of ecosystem, within the system of life, rather than trying to dominate it like white European settlers do. And their nomadic lifestyle was part of that. So in order to survive, they would move around. And the teepee, again, was perfect for that. Could be broken down in a matter of hours, very, very easily, and transported. Plains Indians were fantastic horsemen, you know, spend many, many years from a young age living in the saddle. And, you know, they adapted to life, you know, on the move, riding their horse. They did fantastically well. Of course, the horses arrived in the Americas when the Spanish brought them, after they conquered areas of land after Christopher Columbus, discovered America in 1492. But I had a moment there. I apologize for that. So yeah, you know, their life was perfectly adapted. And the reason they had to be nomadic, folks, particularly the Sioux, is because they followed around a creature known as the buffalo, which is kind of like a big bison, looks like a giant bull. And they relied upon the buffalo to survive. When they hunted the buffalo and killed the buffalo, they used every single part of it, or many parts of it. And I'm not going to go through all these. You'll find this in textbooks and things like that. I'm just going to give you a few highlights. You know, of course, they used the hair or the fur for clothing. You know, that's more obvious. They did use the meat for food, but some of the other things, you know, as well, they used the dung for fuel for their fires. You know, they called them buffalo chips and the dried dung. Remember, there was no wood on the plains. They used, you know, hair for ropes. They used fat for soap. They even used the brain by mashing it up and smothering it all over the teepee and other items of clothing in order to make it waterproof. So, you know, absolutely ingenious, some of these, really maximizing every single resource they had available to them in order to survive in such a harsh environment. They didn't only survive by hunting the buffalo. Many of the Plains Indian tribes and bands were also hunter-gatherers. So they, you know, gathered sometimes beans and other vegetables like turnips and things like that. They also hunted other animals like rabbits and deer and things like that. And so, you know, they adapted their lives to surviving on the plains. Now, they had limited technology compared to the white European settlers that came along. But despite that, they were absolute masters at surviving in their environment. Okay, so whereas, say, white European settlers tend to arrive in a place and attempt to dominate the environment by building upon it and digging it up and mining it and farming it, Plains Indians would sort of live amongst it. And that was the main thing. So again, as I go through this, folks, you're trying to not just focus on you know, the actual facts and how the Plains Indians lived and survived, but also, you know, the key differences between the white European settlers or the Americans and the Plains Indians. You're trying to think about how, why and how that sort of conflict arose. So that's the sort of very basic, very simple overview of Plains Indians' way of life. But again, there was far more to it than that. As I said before, you know, I'm almost very, you know, I'm doing these people a huge disservice by simplifying all of this so drastically. You know, there were lots of different tribes that made up the people known as the Plains Indians. Please don't think that there was just one homogenous group as the, of the Plains Indians. It was far more complicated than that. There were different tribes, and some tribes, like the Sioux, were so big that they became known as the Indian nations, even though they weren't nations as perhaps we think of, you know, with set boundaries and set areas, although of course they did live in particular areas of land. There were no borders per se, all right? And Plains Indians, you know, many of the different tribes are different from each other, with their own cultures, their own language, their own traditions, their own sort of mentalities, you know, as different from each other as other countries. And because of that, they would fall out as well and become sworn enemies and fight each other and raid each other. And they would have allies with there would be alliances between different groups, and there'd be war between others, and alliances were made and they were broken. And you know, that's how they survived long before the white Americans came and sort of complicated it even further. So nations like the Sioux Nation, for example, would be broken down into further tribes, and then those tribes could be broken down into sub-tribes, and then those sub-tribes would be broken down even further into bands, okay, and they would sort of live separately from each other, but would share their sort of cultures and belief system, and depending upon the tribe, some did this more than others, they would often sort of meet up and maybe hunt together, whereas some other tribes, you know, lived, although they belonged to a Plains Indian nation, would live totally separate from each other, okay, and that's really important to remember, folks. Different bands and different tribes would all have their own chiefs, who were the leaders of the Plains Indian society. They were always men, okay? And a tribe or a band could also have many, many chiefs for different things. You know, you could have like a religious chief or a war chief, for example. And they would often come together in councils. And that was how they decided things. They decided what was best for the tribe or the band. They would decide, you know, when to move. They, you know, when they needed to move nomadically around, they'd decide what to do with people who had offended them. They decided in councils when to go to war. They decided in councils, you know, what to do with somebody that had done something wrong within the band as well. And it was often band chiefs, or groups of chiefs, and other elders, so, you know, the older members of the tribe, who would make up the council. And, you know, they would come together to decide big decisions that would affect the whole tribe, okay? And everyone could give their opinion, everyone would be listened to, okay? And then it would normally be the sort of spiritual chief or the overall leader who would have to be consulted about these decisions, although the whole the whole council normally would have to come together to a consensus and have to come to an agreement before any major decisions were made. Gender roles within Plains Indian society tended to be very, very defined. For example, the Sioux, you know, men would be the ones that hunted for food, that hunted the animals and kept their families safe. They would be the warriors. They would also, you know, take young boys out and they'd pass on their skills to them and supervise them and mentor them and look after them. Sometimes as well, men would be the sort of spiritual leaders and lead religious ceremonies as well. As I say, they were the warriors. They were the ones that provided the military leadership and the ones that fought wars, okay? And they could earn great respect amongst their own bands and tribes for being fantastic warriors. Women, on the other hand, would cook meals, they'd make the clothes, they would also, of course, look after children and run the cow, all the, you know, traditional, stereotypical, gender-defined roles, very similar to sort of, you know, Western society, I suppose, in that case. So, you know, Plains Indian society was what you did, or the role you had and the jobs you did were defined by your gender. The other key sort of thing to remember here, or perhaps one of the main differences between the Plains Indians and many of the white European settlers, and one of the main areas that for conflict, if you like, was this idea of polygamy. So polygamy is the practice of men having more than one wife, and that was normal for Plains Indians. But many Americans, particularly Christian Americans, deeply Christian Americans, really struggled with that idea when the two sides sort of met, which is one of the reasons why they came into conflict, because, you know, white European settlers, Americans, found it very difficult to accept that idea. They found it weird. But within the Plains Indian society, you know, that was normal. That was absolutely normal. You know, one Indian hunter could kill enough buffalo to feed a number of women and children, so he would take more wives in order to provide for them. You know, it was seen as a positive thing. Yeah, and I'd say it was very normal within Plains Indian society, but for white European settlers, you know, they found that extremely difficult. Now, despite all of that, despite what many of the white European settlers thought, Plains Indians, Sioux Indians, absolutely loved their families, and no doubt about that. Okay, they were fond of their children. They spoiled them, you know, in the same ways of any other culture loves their children. However, to white European settlers, often Sioux or Plains Indian children seemed unruly and lacked discipline. And, you know, this was a tough environment, folks, a tough place to live. So it sort of stands to reason, I suppose, that Sioux children would be left to their own devices and learn to make their own mistakes, and would become hard to the environment they lived in as a result of that. But to white European settlers that saw all this, they thought that they were unruly and needed discipline. So, you know, Sioux or Plains Indians would discipline their children, but boys and girls, if needed. But boys and girls were kept differently, or treated differently. Girls were denied some of the privileges that the boys were, and some of the freedoms that boys were, and were expected to help their mothers. One of the other traditions or customs that white European settlers struggled with was this idea that often if a Sioux or a Plains Indian man became too old to move around with the nomadic tribe, they would often be left behind for the good of the overall, for the good of the band, or for the good of the tribe at large. You know, it seems, you know, quite cruel, I suppose, to white European settlers, but, you know, it made sense. If the entire society survives by moving nomadically, you know, they have to cater for the majority. And often, you know, these members of the tribe that can no longer travel willingly stayed behind, you know, for the good of the tribe. So, you know, they were more than happy to do that, to be left behind to die, so that the tribe at large could continue. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that is, as I say, a very simplistic overview of Plains Indians' life and society, but I hope that's given you enough to sort of get some kind of basic and understanding of how these people lived, how they're able to survive on the plains, and also some potential areas for conflict between the two sides, some areas of differences between the white European settlers and the Plains Indians, in terms of their sort of society and in terms of their beliefs and in terms of you know, just their entire idea about, you know, society and how life should be lived, I suppose. And, you know, it was these disagreements or these differences that led to or often helped lead to these conflicts that we're going to look at later on. I hope you find that useful, and I hope you join me again for the next podcast. Been a bit of a long one, this one, folks, so I apologize for that. And as always, keep working hard. Bye-bye.